Blog Talk Radio.
Somewhere morning, when the vibe is over, I will fly away. I'm going to a home on that celestial shore. I will fly away. Don't you know that I will fly away? Gloria, I fly away in the morning and the night. Hallelujah, by and by, I will fly away when the shadows of this life have grown out. I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars is blown out, I will fly away. Don't you know that I'll fly away, Gloria. I fly away in the morning and when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Don't you know that I will fly away? Gloria, I will fly away in the morning and when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I will fly away. Don't you know that I'll fly away? Gloria, I will fly away in the morning and when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I will fly away. Amen. Let's say good God morning to you. This is Pastor Mike Peavy with the Golgotha Church of Christ. We've been away a couple weeks. We had an opportunity to sit at the feet and have lunch with Fred Gray, the attorney for Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and civil rights attorney a few weeks ago. And so we were enjoying that. And then we spent some time last week, my wife and I, out at the Hillside Church of Christ with Brother Keith Murphy and his wife. And just having that, we had a Campaign for Christ this week. This past week, last Saturday, was the my sister-in-law, Alice Yancey's Campaign for 2020 presidential campaign fundraiser. So it's just been a busy time, and so I'm just glad to be back with you again this week. Blog Talk Radio, if you're on blog at this time, you can call in, and if you're viewing us on Facebook, call in and we can talk about the scriptures and things today at 619-924-0767. Again, 619-924-0767. Good to have you with us, those that are coming on as of this time. I'm just glad to have you this morning. Have a great day, for God is just an awesome God, and he does marvelous things. We're going to sing another song, then we'll have prayer, then we'll have our communion, and then we'll go to our text, which will be Psalms 105 today. So for those of you who know this, Jewel Hutton, one of his favorite songs, Cabin in the Corner of Glory Land. Many years I've been looking for a place to call home, but I can't seem to find it, so I must travel on. I don't care for fine mansions on earth's sinking sand. Our Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Just build me just a cabin cornered in the corner of glory land, over in the shade of the tree of life that it may ever stand, where I can just hear the angels sing and shake King Jesus' hand. My Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. I may need dear loved ones who have gone on this way. On the great final morning, can I hear them all say, come and join in our singing and playing our band. Our Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Oh, just build me just a cabin in the corner of glory land, over in the shade of the tree of life that it may ever stand, where I can just hear the angels sing and shake King Jesus' hand. My Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Oh, just build me just a cabin in the corner of glory land, over in the shade of the tree of life that it may ever stand, where I can just hear the angels sing and shake King Jesus' hand. Oh, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer at this time. Bow with me. God, righteous Father, in the sweet name of Jesus. Father, to you we give honor and praise today, thanking you the very best we know how. Thanking you for the rain, thanking you for the pain, thanking you for the character building obstacles that we have to, that we are challenged by every day. Father, that we don't have problems when we have you. We don't have pressure when we have you. What we have is perfecting moments that will help us to roll on. And so we ask you to continue to strengthen us and bless us in all the ways you know we so readily stand in need of. Father, we come to you this morning in regards to a few prayer requests. Sister Michelle Glass Williamson is asking us to please call her daughter's name, Ms. Bree Glass, in our prayers unto you this morning, for she's back in the hospital. But Michelle says, but God, when you have a relationship with God, you know that the bomb of Gilead is in your hand. But God, a three-letter word that can change things. So, Father, we place that in your hands this morning, asking you to strengthen her in ways that you know she readily stands in need of. We ask you also, Sister Kim Miles comes out this morning and asks us to please keep her baby sister in prayer, for she's still in the hospital. So, Father, we're praying for the baby sister of Sister Kim Miles. Ask you to bless her and keep her in ways you know she stands in need of. Give her the strength to overcome. Be with the doctors and the nurses that are working with her physical body, their ministers provided by you. But we know in the end, Father, you have the say-so. We have the call. And it's yours to call and ours to answer. So we're praying, Father, that you will continue to bless her and keep her in ways you know she readily stands in need of. Coming to you this morning in regards to the family of the late Senator John McCain, presidential candidate, 81 years old, served this country in many capacities, even with a hostage for many years. Father, has been a great example. And so we're praying for that family and the loss of our senator. And we ask you, Father, can bless them and keep them in ways that you know they so readily stand in need of. All the lives that he's touched and all the campaigns that he's been on, Father, even standing against, even though he was Republican, standing against some of the moral disadvantages and moral decrepitations of the president that we have in place right now. Father, we're asking you to continue to allow us to move forward in this country so that we'll be able to come together and do things that will make you smile and not make you frown. So I pray for his family. We're praying for this country, praying for all the senators that know him, all those close friends of him that will miss him. Father, we're also praying for the strength of his wife and family accordingly. We also come to you today in regards to the loss of Tyrone Robinson's older brother who just passed away this morning, praying for the Robinson and the Taylor family. Father, I ask you for extra TLC in that direction on this morning. Father, we don't want to be remiss. We want to thank you for the addition to the body of Christ from the Campaign for Christ and Brother Warren Blakely and all those that worked under the leadership of Eddie Jones. Father, we ask you to continue to bless that work as it goes forward and brings and shares the message and brings many souls out of darkness into the marvelous light. But also in the midst of that programming, Father, we see that you reached down and grabbed one that was in full duty on Tuesday night. And when we got message first thing, late Tuesday night, first thing Wednesday morning, he had passed. So we're praying today for the family, for his wife, Sandra Smith, the Colonial Village congregation, the church there at Colonial, that were baptized in a Colonial Village, for strength, for his daughters, Father, for those compadres that he's been with, Brother Leonardo DeGilbert, Sister Sandra, Brenda DeGilbert, Father, we're praying for Southwestern and all the lives that he's touched from California to Texas to Louisville to Chicago. Charles was a good brother. We all have our ways, but he was a good brother. He was my roommate in Jamaica. I will never forget him. And even in the midst of some of this turmoil we have had to deal with, he's even tried to reach out and in other ways for us, Father. So we're just asking for rest for him and the bosom of Abraham. That's what we believe that he is, that he's lying in Abraham's bosom. And Father, we're asking for rest for him, for we all must pass this way. And I'm asking for strength for his wife, his dear wife, and his children. Continue to bless them and keep them in the ways you know they stand in need of. Allow us to hold them up and wrap arms around them in ways that they stand in need of. And then we want to be congratulatory to Minister Stephen Thompson, pastor of the Central Church of Christ there in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for where he got married again yesterday. And so we're praying for him and his wife in holy matrimony, that they will go forth and have bliss and have a blessed life. Father, praying for our sister-in-law Alice and for the campaign that she's running, that it will be a moral campaign, Father, and that you will guide it in ways you know it stands in need of, that it will serve the purpose you have for it, and that it will be your will and your way, for you make no mistakes and your jurisdiction is never wrong, that you will guide her to a position that may even sit in the White House to break the glass ceiling. But Father, whatever your will is, I'm asking you to strengthen her during this walk, that she will continue to stay strong and continue to be a visionary. Father, praying for our families near and wide, thanking you for the word of God and for the ability to worship you even this morning in spirit and in truth. Thanking you for our Blog Talk Radio that's reaching far and wide over in Norway, as well as Canada and the continental United States even this morning. Touching lives that we have not even met. Connecting with people we have not even spoken to. Well, along the road, we spoke to a lady in Connecticut that had called in And we ask you, Father, continue to bless her and strengthen her in ways she stands in need of. And she was looking for a church family. We're also a way to get started back with you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you provide for us. For in your words you tell us to go. And how we go is up to us. But the purpose is to go and share the corn. And that we have to move in a capacity that is pleasing and acceptable to thee. Father, we love you. We adore you. And as we go, get ready to take communion this morning. We don't want to be remiss. We want to remember what Jesus did for us on Golgotha Hill as he hung, bled, and died for our sins, taking substitutionary place for us, one who had no sin, to go on the sin of the world. Father, we love you. We adore you. This is our prayer this morning in Jesus' holy and divine name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. And did my Savior bleed, and did my soul burn down? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? It was at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. We find in Acts 20 and 7, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, that Paul continued teaching until midnight. And we know the breaking of bread is the purpose of also having communion. For in the first century, where they would sit down and have a meal, they would also have bread and wine. And the purpose was for the remembrance of what Jesus did in expected anticipation for the second coming of Christ. We see that Paul picks up the pen in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, beginning in verse number 23 through verse 30. For he says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup after he had supped and says that this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Dear God, let's have a word of prayer for the bread and the wine. Thank you for this bread, Father, which is your broken body. And we thank you for this cup, which is your shedded blood. We do this every first day of the week, an example of what the apostles did. Father, so we thank you. And we adore you. We ask you to continue to forgive us of any sin we may have committed through omission and commission, and wipe away any unworthiness that we may have, that we may take this in a worthy manner. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's collectively say amen. Amen and amen again. You may now take it. We believe that every first week has a first, every week has a first day, and so on. At least on the first day of the week, we commune, remembering the horrible substitutionary death, but also the love that God has. For when a person lays down their life for you, that's love that's in measure. And we remember Jesus at this time. Let us sing another song and get to our script today, Psalms 105. It's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. You know it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. Why the blood is running warm in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. And I'm gonna sing just a little over here. And I'm gonna sing just a little over there. While the blood is running warm in my veins, the Lord, it's in my veins. It's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. You know, it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. While the blood is running warm in my veins, the Lord, it's in my veins. And I'm gonna shout just a little over here. And I've gotta shout just a little over there. While the blood is running warm in my veins, you know it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. You know it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. Amen. Good to see you, Mom, and others on with us today. I see my wife on there. It looks like Big Joe's on, and I'm seeing, I think that's Sister Alice or someone there in the Atlanta area. But we're glad to have all of you that are with us today. The other day was a flash by. I didn't get a chance to catch it real quick. But we're just glad to be with you, glad to share God's word, being witnessing the graces and the goodness of God even on this morning. Turn with me to Israel's songbook. Oh, yes, Israel's songbook. Isn't it interesting that we can connect Israel and how they got a chance to understand God and how they sang choruses and sang from the book of Psalm, which was their songbook, right? Words that would glorify their experience with God, that wilderness experience. Remember, they were in Egypt, and they asked for a king, and God raised up them a deliverer, Moses, who led them out of Egypt, overpowered all 10 of Pharaoh's devices, those gods. At least one of them, those 10 plagues, was a god that they served, that God showed power over and put Pharaoh in a half Nelson, so to speak. So he said, let my people go, and Pharaoh said, get going. Then coming to his reverberated somewhat senses, he went chasing back after them. I let him go. Let me go back and get him. But they have a 3 days journey on it. And as they are, Moses leading them through the wilderness to the ear of the Red Sea, they find themselves in entrapment. They have nothing but water in front of them. The Red Sea, a ear of the Red Sea. Sea of Suez, Sea of Aqaba. An ear that is in front of them, water more than they can imagine. Nothing they can do. Can't go forward. Mountains on both sides of them, so they can't go one way to the left or one way to the right. They understand that Pharaoh's troops are tracking them, and so they can't go back, so they will lose their life that way as well and be enslaved again. But when you get in a position where you can't go no further, if you have a real relationship with God, you're not without placement and you're not without help. That's when Moses was utilized the best. For he said, he told all of them that was following him, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. And as he lifted up his staff, God parted the water like elevator doors and raised dry land. So as Israel walked across the dry land between the elevator doors of the Mediterranean Sea, of the Red Sea, and cross over to the other side of dry land, when the last foot, the last sandal was never got wet, was still not have mud on it, touched dry land, they recognized that there was safety and that God had delivered them. But they had a problem, although now they're in on the other side, which is what they desired, so they can go forward. As they look over their shoulder, here comes Pharaoh and his minions chasing them. And so now, not realizing that it's impossible without God, with God you can do the impossible, but they don't have the same God. So as they go out in their sophisticated chariots and their horses, moving at a pace of picking up 3 days and almost catching them, right at the ability of being able to reach out and grab hold of them, as they go out into the Red Sea, the same God that saved Moses and the Israelites is the same God that turned dry land back into mud. And now the elevator doors closed up, and the chariots got stuck in the mud. The horses couldn't go forward, and they lost their life in the very escape plan that God had for his people. So it's powerful to understand you cannot thwart God's plan. No matter how trapped you think God's people are, they are not. We serve a God that gives lockjaw to a lion if you're laying in the lion's den. We serve a God that will cool off the fiery furnace that seven times hotter if you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because you follow the tenets and the pulse of God. There's another message in there for us. Let's stay with God. And with God comes blessings beyond our compare. So as we take a look at the songbook, what they sang, what they rejoiced in, what they found strength in, what they got ability in, when they hung their head, they was able to go to the word that would revitalize them, that would energize them, and should satisfy them. The problem that they have is that they never had to serve a God that they never saw before. And so they had a temporariness. And that's sometimes our problem because we can't reach out and touch God. We can't see him. You have to know by faith that he is a self-existing God, that he's there for you, and that you experience it and taste his mighty goodness. And every morning when he awakes you so that you hear the alarm clock, know that you get up before the alarm clock so you can hear the alarm clock. If God does not awake you and give you life and breath to stay in your body, then no matter how much harder they beat a gong or make a noise, you won't hear it. Because God had not sanctioned you to make it through that day. So let's go to the word of God, which is a light to our feet, and it's a light unto our path. And at the conclusion, we pray that all of you have asked you to call in. Call in today at 619-924-0767. Give us some insight about how good God has been to you and his blessings that endure forever. I'll be reading from the Holman's Christian Standard Bible. You read from your translation. And we'll just take a look at the first four verses. We won't be long, but we hope to be strong this morning to strengthen you and help you to continue to look to the hills and we'll come to hell. For God is a very present help in a time of need. Christ for all crises. And as my wife always says, let's keep our little hands in God's big hand, and everything going to be all right. God looks for his people to be full of faith. Look at Psalms 105. Give thanks to Yahweh. Call on his name. Proclaim his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell about all his wonderful works. Amen, somebody. Honor his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek Yahweh rejoice. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Seek his faith always. And in verse 5, remember the wonderful works he has done, his wonders, and the judgments he has pronounced. You offspring of Abraham, his servant, Jacob's descendants, his chosen one. Let's go back and look at Psalm 105, the first four verses. Give thanks. I want you to underline that. To Yahweh, Jehovah God. Call on his name. Proclaim his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell him all his wonderful works. And honor his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek Yahweh rejoice. And seek his face always. When you look at the word always, what percentage of time is there that you don't seek the face of God? Why would I seek God's face? For God needs to oversee everything that we do. We need God in our daily life. He needs to be not only the Alpha, Omega of the beginning and the ending of your life, but we serve a God that needs to become the Alpha and Omega of every minute that he allows you to suck air on this earth. As God has given you spirit, and the spirit comes from God, then we need to make sure that what we do, what we say, what we feed ourselves, makes us do things that is pleasing and acceptable to God. Yes, as the songwriter says, we need to walk right and talk right and sing right and pray right. But in order for us to walk right, talk right, sing right, and pray right, it comes with how we feed our mind. See, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And the mind is the spiritual heart that the Bible's talking about. It's not speaking of this blood pump. Because in today's sophisticated science, man is getting to the point where they can take and go perform an operation, pull your heart out, give it a little cleaning up, put in some dirt lube, right? And even put in some extension valves, right? Or remove it completely, put a pig heart in. And you will be able to continue to function because it will be able to beat and continue to move. But we must understand that the heart that the Bible speaks about is centered in the temporal lobe of your brain, in the brain box, where you make your intent to make decisions. See, God wants to be there controlling the very intentions of your decisions so that the result or the outcome of the decisions will be godly and not earthly. Also, Satan wants to occupy that same spot. So there's a war going on. Paul says, when I was trying to do right, evil was always present. You ever feel like even this morning, when you got up, you had your mind centered on the Lord, got yourself ready to praise God, and all of a sudden you either got a phone call or someone calls you, a subliminal message came through the phone, there's through television, and all of a sudden you're no longer focusing on God. And you start to sink spiritually. In the same manner that Peter started to sink physically when he took his eyes off God, we have the same problem spiritually. When we take our mind eye off the Lord, then all of a sudden by default, Satan has more advantage to move on us. So let us look at the majesticness of God. Let us look at his majesty today. Will you enter the throne room with me today? As we go, we have access through Jesus to approach the celestial shores and to be able to approach God under the blood of Jesus. And as we come to our sovereign God, do you have a praise on your heart this morning? Or are you full of pity, sorrow, and pain? Has God done anything for you that will make you shout hallelujah? Or has his glory been washed away? How do you feel today? Because every moment God gives you to breathe, he wants you to be able to use that impactfully to lift up somebody else. Oh, maybe you don't have the physical ability because of a disability or sickness that you can't get out and run like you used to. But you have, what do you have at your disposal? You can text some encouraging words every morning that will lift up someone. Amen. I see it done all the time. My wife does it every morning. And just comments back from others because they needed to hear a rightful word at the right time. And so many others are doing it. That's an easy thing to do. You can go on Facebook Live and just say, God bless you. God loves you. And God's waiting on you. You have the ability to pick up the phone and reach out and text to somebody all the way over in Zimbabwe or in Canada, in Nicaragua. Or you can Skype someone and see them. You have that technology in front of you today. Are you helping somebody know Jesus more intently? Or are you using your energy on worldliness? The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. And so we need to make sure that we're spending our time in this dashful moment, that we become dashing for the Lord. Because his majesty has given us the very best. When he sent his son, Jesus, to die for your sins and mine, how do you feel about it? Touch you at times. Some days I'll just be driving and I just think about everything he went through and what I'm going through, and I just start crying. A tear will start to run down my eye as I'm driving I-90 or I-94. It's not a tear of sadness, is a tear of joy, knowing that my sin problem has been taken care of, past, present, and future, because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. And I have the ability, because my sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb, I have the ability, if I live right and die right, to get up right and spend the rest of my time in heaven with Jesus and God. That's what I'm looking to do. That's what I want to do. So are you giving thanks to Jehovah God? What ways can I give thanks? Well, Giving things means it's something that has to come from you. It's a gift from you. It's an expression from you. And it really is centered in how much God has done for you. You ever ordered a pizza? And you paid for the pizza, but the driver brought it to you. Maybe they did something a little extra. Did you give them a tip? That little tip is above and beyond because of what they've done for you. How much more above and beyond has God done for us? When he died for us, he shed blood for us, took ridicule for us, took punishment for us, because he loved us. And when we think about that, are we willing to give thanks? Are you so arrogant that you can't thank Jehovah God? Are you so arrogant that Yahweh means nothing to you? Or you need to lift up holy hands. You need to shout to the tops of your lungs. You need to let everyone in your circle know how good he is to you. Because if you don't let them, nobody know that you serve God, then by default, you serve this world. Or you may not feel that you're serving Satan directly, but by default, it's God or bust. So give thanks to Yahweh. Call on his name. There's no name greater. You know the song? There is a name I love to hear, a name, Jesus. Sounds like music in my ears. It's the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he's first. Love me. Do you understand that what God has done for you, he gave first, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Monogenesis. No one like him. That whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God had you in mind when he gave us Jesus. Jesus came down through 42 generations in Matthew, came down through 72 generations in Luke, all the way from Adam, in order to take on a substitutionary death that he did no wrong. He took a stripe for you. He was stabbed for you. He was ridiculed, spat on. And because of that, because of Jesus, because of what he's done, because of the hung up on Skull Hill, it's shouting loose. Brother Warren Blackman made it clear this week when he said, all they heard Jesus, they pierced him, they beat him, they did all this stuff, made him carry his cross, and so they had one mistake. They made one mistake in their plan. And I'm like, what is it? He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. When they lifted Jesus up on their cross, hung in between two thieves, now the whole world is looking at him. Matter of fact, time is looking at him. All the Old Testament in the patriarchal dispensation and the Mosaic dispensation is pointing to the cross on God, being hung on Golgotha Hill. When he died, was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's borrowed tomb, and got up as he said he would in 3 days. Now, everything points back to the cross. the dispensational change from patriarchal to Mosaic church dispensation, Jewish dispensation, when he died, now changed, and we now live under grace and truth, under the Christian dispensation. We must follow the apostles' doctrine. If you're not following the apostles' doctrine today, you're living beneath your privileges. If you were baptized in the John's baptism, you now have to be baptized for the remission of your sin. For John's baptism did not remit sin. So we must understand that it's not the blood of bulls and goats that was under the Mosaic law that could save us, but it's the blood of Jesus. And God puts together one cookie-cutter plan for every man from the second Pentecost, from the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 33 A.D. He says, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people who believe they have the Holy Spirit, but they have not surrendered to God. You may have a spirit. You may have spirits. You may be doing well by some of the spirits that you have. But you're missing. Because the Holy Spirit is a gift given to us again by God that comes after surrender to him. And he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is a promise unto us, to all that are far off, the name of the Lord our God shall call unto himself. Acts 2:47, after 3,000 souls were added, were baptized, since praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Jesus has but one church. He has but one church, one ecclesia, one body. They're not Jew nor Gentile, they're not bond nor free. We're all one in Christ Jesus, but we all must obey the same thing. And we must serve God the same way. We must understand that we have a reason to give thanks to Yahweh God. We call on his name for what he's done for us. We proclaim his deed. What has God done for you? Just start writing. God has done so much for me that I can take an entire ring of paper right on front and back and still not have enough. God invigorates me, excites me. I get goosebumps when I think about his goodness. If God didn't affect your emotions, you may not be serving the right God. He says, sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell about all his wonderful works. God wants to hear from his children how good he is. God wants you to survey him. Yeah, you go and you go do something and they send you, can you give us a survey for evaluation? God wants you to evaluate him. How much more could I do for you? We serve a God that's given everything, including life. And he doesn't fit on a Richter scale of 1 to 10, nor 1 to 100. He fits on a Richter scale of knees to the ground, prostrate to him. He wants us to talk to him in prayer. Tell him how good he's been. Ask for what you need that he can provide and protect. God has reason. We sing because I'm happy. Sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. and as big as this world is, and as many folks as this world is, and all the different caveats of this world, God watches over me. He watches over you too. And he wants to hear from you, even on today. When we praise God, that really means to eulogize God. Tell God of his goodness. How good has God been to you? Brother Saul says, when I think about the goodness of God, I get all stirred up. Rose sings that. All stirred up. Does God do anything for you that it just gets you all stirred up? Just think about yesterday, what he stopped you from doing. Or what is your talent? Is God navigating you the space and those others from getting to you? Giving you the ability to accomplish the things that you need to accomplish. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Giving thanks to you even on Sunday morning. Something about Sunday morning. We call on your name and proclaim your deeds among the people. I'm going to tell somebody. I can't hold you. I got to tell somebody how good you've been to me. Sing to him, sing, praise to him, tell us about all his marvelous works. Honor his holy name. Do you know that Jesus' name is holy? And holy is his name. That means we have to sanctify some things, folks. You got to set apart some situations, folks. You got to understand, brothers and sisters, friends and acquaintances, you got to understand that the name of Jesus is higher than any earthly name you could call. It's holy because it's pure. Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, pure. And so we don't need to muddy it up, but we let it radiate the way it does. Honor his name. This country is going into turmoil because quarterback Colin Kaepernick took a knee for Black Lives Matter. And they've had a problem ostracizing him because they've taken it and turned it into an effective thing of saying, you're disrespecting the flag. You're disrespecting the soldiers that are fighting for this country. And he's saying that has nothing to do with what I'm doing. But because they cannot agree with you, they flip it so that they can take the power away from you. So now they ostracized him to the point that he can't even get a job as a quarterback in the NFL, National Football League. But in spite of it, he won't change and he won't bend because he has to make a stand. When it comes to Jesus' name, do you let folks just talk about your God any old kind of way? When they start using God's name in vain, are you still in their company? Or do you say, hold it, man, we got to check that. We need to understand what you're doing. Do you represent God? Do you separate yourself from evil and wickedness? Those that don't respect God, do you honor just even the name of God? I don't know about what I stand for, who I am, what I look at on Facebook, what I allow into my subliminal mind. It's difficult because there's so many things. Movies and exciting things of entertainment, you have to be careful not to find yourself drenched in worldliness. Ask God to filter that out so that you can continue to praise, you can continue to shout, you continue to lift up holy hands. Oh, yes. Honor his holy name. God deserves higher than the Purple Heart, which is the highest medal of award that you can receive in the United States, given to you by the president. But what color would he use if he had to give a purple, if he had to give a heart to God? It had to be the color of Jesus' blood. We honor his name because his name is dipped in blood. Let the hearts of those who seek Yahweh rejoice. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Let me ask you today, in the midst of your hallelujah moment, who are you looking for? Do you confess him fully? Do you give thanks unto the Lord because he is good, because he is kind, because his mercy endureth forever? Do you understand that God hears? And the fact that the Lord hears means that the Lord loves. God hears. That means he has audibility. That means that he's capable of hearing. And he does hear. God hears everything. Someone said God don't hear and send his prayer. Go over there in John 9 and see who they call him the sinner. They call him Jesus the sinner. God hears everything because he's sovereign. You can't thwart God, but God may not honor because he's sovereign. Those that are wicked and evil. But the main age-old question is, why is the wicked seem to be blessed? Because God in his time is going to do what he chooses to do. And sometimes he uses the evil folks for his purpose to give us a wake-up call, and then he has to come back and treat them like Nebuchadnezzar after having eaten grass like an ox, not even know how to come in after rain. Let the heart of them rejoice and seek his face. How does God look to you? Do you spend time just really wanting to see God? One thing I love about my wife, it's kind of crazy too. It's kind of quirky to an extent, but it's not, because she takes pictures of cloud formations. And it's so interesting to me, because she'll see something and she's like, man, take a look over there. Take a look over there. She understands that this is God's imagery. This is God's movement. And better than any cotton ball you'll ever find in Walgreens, you cannot describe the formations that God creates just through clouds. Look up sometimes. Look into the face of God. Know that God's face is deeper than your surface eyes. Meditate on his word to get into the mind of God so that you can know more intimately what God expects from you. So that when God calls an audible in your life, it says go this way and not that way. You will hear, and you won't doubt. See, doubt is of the devil. But if you give God your all, give God your life, he'll take care of your moments. When we hear its ability of receiving communication, when we hear its the ability to gain information, when we hear, it helps us to conceptualize God's perception of how he observes things and gives us mental imagery. Every morning, before your feet hit the ground, every morning, after you slobber and slumber and slept and have not wiped the slobber off your pillow. You need to talk to God. God gives you the ability to clean yourself up. But it starts from the inside out, not the outside in. Will you give God your all? Do you know, are you seeking God's favor? When you seek God's favor, that's the only true mode of getting into God's true happiness. When you seek God's strength, that's the only true source of God's protection. When you shout glory to his holy name, that means you will boast about God's perfections in your life. When you shout glory to God's name, you denounce worldly glory. For the world finds glory in the lotto line. The world finds glory in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. The world finds glory in blues. The world finds glory in horses and chariots and cars and stuff and things. But our hope is centered in nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Our hope is centered in the name of Jesus and the power and the love that God has for his children. And as God has to bring judgment to us, we relish the fact that he's cleaning us up, building our character. Because God's not concerned about your comfort. He's concerned about your character. Oh, you may be too mean. God has to work some of that out. You may find yourself cussing and cursing. God got to work some of that out. Find yourself doing illicit things. God's got to work that out. But he will meet you where you're at and show you that he has power over whatever addiction that you have. Because we serve a God that we can give thanks to. We serve a God that wants our applause because he's done well. We serve a God that does well for us in our life, that he wants to hear from us, say, well done, God. So that in the end, he also can say back to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. If you don't serve him now, don't look to serve him later. Because when a tree falls, so does it lay. It's time to celebrate and elevate God right now. And the more you celebrate, the more you salivate on God's word, the more that you meditate on God's word, the more that you rejoice and refresh yourself on God's word, the more God does for you. The more God pushes you, the deeper relationship you get with God. How deep is your love? Some of you have been with God 40, 50, and 60 years, and God has protected you through many of life's challenges, probably many presidencies, many marriages, many discomforts. God has taken care of you. Oh, yes. How do you know? Because you're here. This wasn't happenstance. It's not lucky seven. This is no rabbit's foot day. God saw fit for us to be together and talk today. And I love Jesus because what he did for me, he died so that I might have life. He died reconciling me back to the Father. So that when God purifies me, I can help someone else see how great he is. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the words thy hands have made. Why see the stars and I hear the roaring thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. But then sings my inner soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Oh, how great thou art. Then sings my inner soul, it's my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly. You shall find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If you're here today, you want a deeper relationship with Jesus. You need prayer, type in your prayer request. We'll pray for you, pray with you. Call in on my blog talk line and we'll talk about it. Call in at 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767. You can call right now and we'll talk about it. Give God your all, for he's giving you his very best. It's decision time. Will you surrender to him? How deep is your love for God? If God died for you and shed blood for you, will you come in contact with that blood in the water by baptism for the remission of your sin? You, Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. Said I just want to thank you, Lord, for you. Been so good to me. I know you've been so mighty, mighty good to me. I know you've been so good to me. And I just want to thank you, Lord. If you didn't get a chance to give, you have a few ways you can give. You can go to our website, but we have online giving. Go to www.golgothachurchofchrist.com, G-O-L-G-O-T-H-A, churchofchrist.com. Go to the More tab under donations, and you can either give a tithe offering or a love offering of any amount. Or if you want to go to Cash App, you can go to $GCOC1. That's Cash App, $GCOC1, and make your contribution there. Let's go to those that are called in on Blog Talk, and let's hear from them at this point in time. Such a blessing. Such a blessing. 414-903-7800. 94. Who's on the 404 call? Can you hear me? The air is open to you. How are you today? All right. Let's go to 312-371-2452. Is that Big Joe?
Big Mike. What's
how
up,
doing,
bro?
Doc?
Man, am I all right, Doc? You know, I'm gonna thank you, man, number one, because you're one of the best. I prayed the Lord to get my son these school things, man, for school, and just to get a little bit extra and like do that for him. And I had nothing, Mike. And then bam, praise the Lord. And I like went and took him, and like we had such a great time, and I just had to just throw my hands in the air, you know. I buried a brother that used to play with this band, Heavy Manners. I've been filling his shoes because he retired from the band some years ago, but he passed. Brother Jimmy Robinson. I just want to pray for his family. He passed, and I just put on Facebook, man, big shoes to fill, Brother Jimmy Robinson, rest in peace, the love eternal from your brother Smoking Joe. I just feel good this morning because, you know, I was worn out. I know I saw you last night, and I had my whole crew that I work with down in Rinaldi. I brought them down to Kingston Mine, and I was this morning when I woke up, I said, Ooh, it's 10 o'clock. I was going to run and get to the Antioch, but my body was worn out. I said, wait a minute. I ain't got to break my neck and get to no Antioch. I got Brother Mike.
There you go.
So I just roll over and just hit the button, you know what I mean?
We're glad to have you today, Doc. Any comments on the lesson today? Any prayer requests outside of Jimmy Robinson?
Yeah, brother. Just praying for the family. My little nephew Jamal is making a transition from Texas, moving closer to my cousin Lori in Tennessee. You know, my two beautiful nieces, my two beautiful kids, man. Liberty in London, and so he's moving up there, man. I just want to pray for his father, my brother Jimmy, man. I want him to like just pray for him, man, because he's just been disconnected, man. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I love my brother so much. You know what I mean? And like, he's disconnected, man. You know, and me and my cousin Lori, we pray for him, but you know, he's got two beautiful grandchildren. I don't even think he even held in his arms yet, man. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I just want him to connect.
We're going to grant that prayer, Doc. It's good to hear you this morning. Let's go to, my wife. Maureen, how you doing, sweetheart?
I am well. Thank you. Hi, Brother Joe. How you doing?
Hey, honey. What's up?
Hey, I am doing well. Yes, good to hear your voice. Brother PV, the lesson was a nice lesson, and thank you for the lesson. And it's just always good to know that we as children of God have someone who loves us so much that gave up his life for us. And when we were sinners, and even when we are disobedient, he still loves us. He still gives us an opportunity, very long suffering with us, because he wants all mankind to heaven, and we have to thank him for this grace, his mercy, his long suffering, and it's just love. He loves us completely, and we can't take it for granted. And know sometimes we do forget, but when we come back to ourselves and remember that no one loves us more than God. So God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has blessed my life tremendously, and I I am nothing without them. And like you said, we get up in the morning, you thank him for another beautiful day, and you thank him for just the opportunity to do something better for him. That's this day that you didn't do yesterday because of his love. It's so you do not want to not show him grace, show him your appreciation, and show him love as best as you can. So thank you for the lesson.
Amen. Thank you, honey, for that. Those comments, very, very powerful and very on point. Because if you can't give thanks to God for what He's done, man, you got a hole in your soul somewhere. You're missing something. God's done so much for us. Thank you so very much. Let's go back to 404-903-7894. Good morning.
That's my
sister. Hello, everybody.
Hi. That's my sister.
That's my sister. Hi, sister. Hi, brother-in-law.
What's going on, sis? I thought that was you.
That was a wonderful, wonderful message. I'm like my sister. You know, I get up every morning, and my kids think I'm crazy because I just get up and just praise God, just thank Him. Especially after all I've been through, I can still have joy. And, you know, if you don't live your life as a Christian, God can't send blessings to you. And that has been one of the things that I tried to work on. I'm not perfect, but I try to live my life and send blessings to me so that I can bless somebody else. But I thank you for that message. I'm always thankful for God and what He's done for me and my family. It's been some rough roads, but I know that God is more than able. And continue to keep me in your prayer. Thank you for praying for me with this race. Continue to pray for me, pray for my health. And, you know, keep my whole family, my sister, my niece, everybody, my children, my grandchildren, my in-laws. When I say in-laws, please correct that. My in-laws on my PV side. You know, just keep us all in prayer. Also, you know, let's keep the Smith in prayer. I am trying to come up there for the service on next week. So pray for me that if I come that I will have a safe travel, whether I fly or either drive. Pray for me with school and, you know, just pray for me in general. And especially running this race, please pray for me. Thank you for that wonderful message.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glad to have you with us, sis. You had a good time last week as your fundraiser, and praying that everything is starting to build itself up in a manner that God will be pleased with, and that you'll be able to continue to do some great things. It's good to see you out among the youth and listening to the kids as the they're looking for a change, and pictures out in front of Obama's house and things of that nature that you've been privy to. So it's, you just keep your little hand and God a big hand. And like I said, you're already victorious. We'll see how far God will take you in this race. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're just so glad. We just give thanks for God. This whole lesson is about just giving thanks for God, for He's just majestic. He's just our majesty. I want you to do something for someone today that they can't repay you for. Give them Jesus Christ and crucify. You guys have a great day. We love you in the Lord. And we'll be back soon with more blog talk and more Facebook Live. Have a great day.
You got it.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.